Okay, to start, I would like to present, would like you to present yourself to the public and say who you are and why, what is your goal here in Porto Alegre. Maybe we start with Tulas Ncesi.
Yes. My name is Tulas Ncesi from South Africa. I am the president of the Education International, recently elected here in Porto Alegre in our World Congress of the Education International in July 2004. We are back here together with the Deputy General Secretary of EI, Eli Juan, to be part of the World Social Forum. We are here because education is one of the key social issues in terms of development in the world. And therefore, we are here to advance the cause of quality public education for all. It's very, very important that we be part of such a forum which is discussing the social issues amongst which it is education. One of the reasons we feel that education should get international attention, it's because currently education is under attack from neoliberal policies who want to ensure that they privatize education. And once education is privatized, it's not going to be accessible to the poor who form the majority of the world. It would only be a luxury for the rich. That is the struggle we are here for today. Thank you.
Eli Juan.
Yes, I'm Eli Juan. I'm a former French trade union leader, but I'm working now full-time for several years for Education International as a Deputy General Secretary. In my task in Education International, I'm responsible for all the sector in relation with a campaign in favor of public education. And as our president has said very, very clearly, public education is today under attack, and we have to be the advocate of public education in all circles. For this reason, we are present at this World Social Forum, not for the first time. We have been there from the very beginning. And, well, we are also present at the World Economic Forum in Davos. That means our leaders are talking and are explaining our views and our position, both in the two forums, which are quite different, of course, but which have, let's say, areas for discussion, for lobbying, and we hope to achieve our goal in terms of lobbying in Porto Alegre this year.
Well, you both mentioned already that one important issue is the privatization of education. Can you name a few more important issues society has to find a solution soon in the subject of education?
Well, there are a number of areas. Like we are saying, privatization is one of the problems. One of the big problems is the funding and the financing of education, where there are moves or there are attempts to try and absolve governments from funding education and push that towards the ordinary parents. So it is a sophisticated way of governments trying to absolve themselves of their responsibility to provide for the resources in education, and they are absolving themselves and saying the parents should be the ones who are taking that. We believe that education is a human right. It has to be provided for. At least the minimum must be provided for by the state, by governments, in order for everybody to have access in education. That is one area. The other area has to deal with the resources in education. We're seeing the shrinking of the resources in education. which impacts on the quality of education, because we must not just talk about the quantity of education, we must also talk about what type of quality is that education with the proper resources. Are educators having proper resources in order to be able to deliver that quality education? One of the issues, of course, would be the issue of the very human resources. We're talking about human and physical resources. Recently, we're seeing moves to downsize education. And the implication is that as they downsize education, teachers are losing jobs. As teachers are losing jobs, we have huge class sizes. We have overcrowding in the schools. Quality is being compromised again. And as a result, some countries are trying to come up with very bad measures, like employing temporary teachers. The recommendations of the World Bank in many of the developing countries is to say to them, let them employ the temporary teachers. And the issue of what we call temporary teachers or casual teachers, the casualization of the teaching job, it's becoming an international phenomenon, which has to be looked into, and it's demoralizing the educators and compromising the quality. So the issue of proper training and or proper upgrading for the educators are some of the issues which we believe that they are very, very, very important. But one of the problems which is facing education, it's violence. Violence which comes in different ways. Political violence, which is destabilizing a number of nations. For instance, we're talking here, we have to promote tolerance. We have to promote world peace. And when we're talking about promoting tolerance, we're talking about dealing with all those issues which are causing intolerance. One of the things which is facing the world today is the division. And what is being propagated by some of the groups, where people all of a sudden have seen the Muslim communities as propagating violence, whereas it's not correct that all Muslims, I mean all Arabs are Muslims, not all Arabs are Muslims. Not all Muslims are fundamentalists. Not all fundamentalists are propagating violence. And what we are saying, what is the cause of the violence and instability in the whole world, it's the corporate greed, where you find that people have been displaced, people have been denied their right to self-determination, people are very poor, and when there's poverty and no hope for better life, people become so desperate. All those issues are destabilizing education. Those are human rights issues which have to be addressed, because education cannot be treated in isolation from the politics of the world. We therefore say these are some of the issues which we're very concerned about. And one of the big issues which has impacted on education negatively is HIV/AIDS. The scourge of HIV/AIDS is spreading all over the world like wildfire. Africa used to be regarded as the epicenter of the HIV/AIDS. But the recent conference of HIV/AIDS, the World Conference in Bangkok, has indicated that it is also spreading very fast in Asia. And therefore, we have to do something. And we are saying we have to do something talking about not just awareness campaigns. We must talk about prevention. We must talk about treatment. We must confront the pharmaceutical campaigns who have made drugs to be very expensive and inaccessible to the poor. And you know that AIDS has become a class issue, because if you are poor, you're not likely to access the expensive medication by pharmaceutical. But if you're rich, you can be able to buy those drugs and be able to elongate your life. So these are all the issues which are impacting, and we believe that social progress, including progress in terms of quality public education, has been reversed by the scourge of HIV/AIDS in many countries, where teachers are dying and even the students are dying.
Oui, Elie Jean, obviously there's a lack of resources and you've been talking already about the privatization and neoliberal politics. I don't know whether it's an intention that you are seated in Brussels, but you're very close to the European Community. So I would like to talk a little about the lobbying your association does and how you estimate the chances that European Community or other international institutions will really finance these kind of projects.
Now, it's true that the European Union is taking care very seriously the issue of education, because the European Union and the Member States are quite convinced that in the context of globalization, education and training are an asset for the competition and to, let's say, to improve the economy and, of course, the social life in the different country. I think one an important new development is the following. In the past, let's say that education was mostly the concern of the professional, of the governments. But we see now that the employer are quite concerned by the development of education, and because they understand that education has become a strategic investment for the economic development. But it's a very positive development if the employer are in favor to promote education, but they are in favor to promote a particular aspect of education. As a trade unionist, we said that education must promote the quality of the human being, must promote the future citizens, and must facilitate, of course, the access to the future worker, to the working place. But what we can observe that the world of the employer is more or less only taking care of the last aspect. They don't care about human beings. They don't care about the role of the future citizen. They want to prepare in the best condition for their own interests the youth to be part of the working life. Alors, it's true that the European Union is concerned with this view. The European Union is also concerned with the situation of education in the third world, the contribution in terms of assistance and to the developing countries. It's regularly increasing from the European Union. You know that according to the rule which have been adopted in the United Nations, all countries are supposed to contribute to 0.7% of their national gross national product to the development. Only very few countries are meeting this figure. Only countries such as Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Netherlands, and some important country in Europe, even if they are making efforts, such as Germany, France, and Italy, they are not yet reaching the level of 0.7. Most of the time, it's better than what United States is doing, because the United States is doing 0.1%. But it's clear that the promotion of education, of public education, quality publication everywhere in the world, requests an internal investment from all countries, but the poorest country will not succeed to achieve education for all if they don't receive support aid from the industrialized country, particularly from the European Union.
Well, there is actually the European countries from the European Union and North America, East Asia are taking a lot of profit from educated people in the South, where, because there is something which is called brain drain. I mean, a lot of poor countries invest a lot of money in order to educate people who then look for better jobs or look for a way to live in countries of the North. What are your strategies, or how do you see this problem?
It's a very complex matter, because we're dealing with what we'd call an open labor market system, where people have the right to look for the jobs anywhere. But the brain drain will always be a concern, as you say, for the developing countries who are spending millions to develop those skills, and all of a sudden that skill is recruited into the first world. We think that this is a matter which we have indicated that in the various international forums there need to be discussions. We know, for instance, that in the Commonwealth Group, which is both the developing and the developed countries, the affiliates of the Education International have forced that the matter should be put on the agenda of the Commonwealth Group. What we are saying is that, first of all, we need to develop protocols. Protocols between countries on how they have to recruit. Because one of the problems which we are facing, those workers who tend to go and get jobs there, it's because of a high rate of unemployment in their own countries. And therefore, you can't stop them if there are jobs in the other countries. But unfortunately, when they reach those other countries, they are given jobs which are not protected in terms of the labor standards. For instance, in Britain, South African teachers are recruited, and Zambian teachers or Zimbabwean teachers are recruited into the inner city schools, which are the most violent schools. They are given temporal contracts and all those things. So the first thing which we say, every worker everywhere must be covered by the labor standards. That's the first thing which we say. Secondly, you need to develop those protocols between the countries in order to be able to say, how do you ensure that you recruit in such a way that you are not further underdeveloping the other country of taking a very, very crucial skill? So if there is that bilateral agreement or a multilateral agreement between countries on how this has to be done, maybe it would be able to help us. And as unions would like also to participate in such, in making or in inputting in such a bilateral or multilateral agreement. It is a very, very complex matter which we have also raised. But given the fact that you're operating in an open international labor market situation, you cannot prescribe to the people that they cannot go into this particular country, but you can only be able to control it, as I'm saying, by putting very clear agreements and a modus operandi of how to do those things, rather than leaving it to the market.
Is there something you would like to...
Yes, I would like to add something. I think that it's important also you refer of the plan of the World Trade Organization. You know that in the framework of this organization, there is a general agreement on trade services. And education is part of it, as else. And, if this project is implemented, it will be possible in the future to sell education as we can sell, let's say, computer or food. It means that in the future, the national identity of the different education system risk to disappear. And our position on this process is very clear. We, as Education International, as well the European Union, oppose, request that education will be put outside this general agreement on trade services. We feel that education cannot be considered as the other, let's say, activities or product, and we would like to be successful in this process. Well, the situation regarding general agreement on trade services has been a little bit frozen this past year because there was a dispute on agriculture, and a certain number of countries, particularly Brazil, South Africa, India, and so on, have refused to start a negotiation on trade services until the problem of agriculture is not solved. But now, I'm not saying that agriculture is a problem, it is solved, but it's on the way to be solved. And next month in Geneva, some discussion will start on the implementation of the General Agreement on Trade Services. And I have to tell you that for an education such for an organization such as Education International and its affiliate, it's a big, big problem we will have to deal with in the coming months and in the coming years.
Well, thank you very much.